Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He's Paul Gallant. You guys had an extra hour of us this morning.
That's right.
So we're keeping the energy going, though. We both have our coffee, both have our water.
Coffee number 3 for me right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That actually explains a lot. We have Lance Zierlein.
What does that mean?
And now you're just very energetic. We have Lance Zierlein on with us, NFL draft analyst, of course, and the host of The Bench, which you hear every morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We appreciate his awesome analysis. And we'll go through what he said the Texans may do later this morning and later in the day. But as of last night, you and I both got our wishes in one way or another. You had wanted Stingley, and I wanted Nick Caserio to trade the 13th pick back and get more picks for later rounds. And apparently Nick Caserio listens to the show.
He does.
Both of those things happen.
I mean, we're besties, you know.
Yeah.
We're all in the vest of trust together. And I feel like, as the voice of a generation and a flag football legend, that my input is valid. But I wanted them to take a corner at that third spot. I had a feeling that the top two pass rushers were going to be off the board. I think everyone had that same feeling. It seemed like it was the chalk that in one way, shape, or form, in one order or another, Aiden Hutchinson and Trevon Walker would be off the board 1 and 2 or 2 and 1, vice versa. So they're gone. Who's the best defensive player available? It's Derek Stingley. And I know that there are some who maybe look at where you took Derek Stingley and you think to yourself, a corner at 3? Are you bleeping crazy?
That was an area of need, though.
It is. I just think there are some, Vanessa, who have unwritten rules for how a draft should be done.
Right.
And you feel like you need to, in one of those spots, take someone on the interior, on the defensive line, on the offensive line, or on the edge of the offensive line, on the edge of the defensive line, or a quarterback in those top 5 spots. And if you're not going there, then you're making a big gamble. You're taking a big swing. But Stingley in 2019 was one of the best players in college football. And I think he can be that guy again.
I was lost in the sauce. I wanted Sauce Gardner. I will say this, though. Derek Stingley obviously has proven a little more with the conference he has to play in, the guys that he has practiced against. They've seen the physicality. So that was the pick. And then obviously, there was a reaction. There was a good reaction. But let's get to the Roger Goodell announcement of Derek Stingley Jr., because there were some Texans fans there, and they did not hate the pick so much. Here's the audio.
We're on third pick in the 2022 NFL Draft. The Houston Texans like Derek Stingley Jr.
I don't hear booing.
I didn't either. And here's what I wonder. Do you think that perhaps Texans fans are a little gun-shy to have hot takes on draft picks after being so bleeping wrong about J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the worst moments in Texans fan history, at least with the benefit of Captain Hindsight, when they took J.J. Watt, all the boos that happened in the moment right afterwards. Which is funny, because if you've ever been to these Texans draft parties and you've walked around, generally everyone is sauced. And they will tell you any pick that the Texans take.
No Texans.
Right. They're going to be in favor of it. It's people who we love, like Debbie the Texan,
and you know
who
what?
Are positive vibes
I
only.
I love optimism. Love me some optimism.
I remember going around once and I was just making up names and asking people, like, hey, what do you think about Scooter McGillicuddy? And they would say, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, he's really got a lot of potential. For the most part, I think that we have gotten positive vibes as opposed to being the obnoxious Jets fans who boo everything at the draft. Although I do miss that part of the draft not being in New York. The Jets booing and getting disappointed with everything that happened. Yeah. They're a fun fan base to watch. Because now all of a sudden Jets fans are feeling really hot and bothered. Mm-hmm. They think really, really highly of themselves.
They won
cute.
The draft. Meanwhile, Derek Stingley did meet with the media. I talked to Derek Stingley. I was in on that Zoom call and I asked him, okay, obviously you met with the Texans brass at the Combine and beyond. What were your impressions? And here's what he said about his meeting with the Texans.
It was good. It was a good vibe. I could tell that things were going to be different from the past. Everything was trending upward over there.
Yeah. Trending upward. It was going to be different from the past. So look, these guys just got drafted. They're going to be happy. No matter where they go, they're going to sound optimistic, even if they really, many people pull an Eli Manning and actually cry. But I do think that it speaks to the fact, and Kenyon Green had talked about how he really liked Lovie Smith. He had a great conversation with Lovie Smith. Despite the Texans' past, which I have been critical about, who they have in what positions, who's doing what, it does seem like the Texans now have their ish together where they're presenting themselves as a franchise that guys want to come play for.
For now. I think it's one thing to say it today. I would wonder with someone like Derek Stingley Jr., who after the 2019 national championship season, you could ask questions about how much he wanted it. I wonder how a player like that, who is going to be looked on by default being a third overall pick to be a leader of this team, I wonder how he will handle the likely very low moments that will come over the course of this coming season. There are, I think, some positive vibes on the way out of the 2021 campaign, but it's one thing to finish the season strong. It's another entirely with a totally different roster to keep it going. I wonder about that with Stingley, and I think it's a fair question to wonder about is how does he handle being on a losing team? Right. He did not handle it well at LSU, and this is a significantly, as far as competitiveness, a less competitive team than LSU has been in the SEC over the last couple of years.
The writing would be on the wall for sure if that happened. The Texans also selecting the hometown kid. He was at his home in Humble, Texas, Kenyon Green. Texas A&M, we got a very happy boss, Todd, who's an Aggie through and through. And here's what he said about the specific subject of his versatility.
It helped me a lot, you know, playing different positions, knowing what I can come in and do my best at. So, I would come in and just be a team player, you know, be the best I can be and help the team in whatever form and fashion that is.
Lance didn't seem concerned about versatility and how the Texans would use it. I am a little concerned just because I feel like whether it's Bill O'Brien or it's now Lovie Smith, Nick Caserio, Rick Smith, I don't like moving an offensive lineman around from one position to another on a regular basis. But Lance said that he feels like he is going to be put on the interior. And honestly, would you take a look at what he has done at Texas A&M, blocking guys downfield? I mean, he's a mean run blocker. This is a guy who goes to the second level and wants to hurt people, and I love it. That's exactly what you want. Yeah, you want a real son of a bitch that's going to go out there and just beat the hell out of people. And you know, considering how bad the Texans running game was last year, I mean, you can blame it on the running backs themselves and how they're maybe a little bit underwhelming. You do need to have talent at that position. You can't just make it work with anybody, but you do need to have guys on the interior who are good. And Tytus Howard wasn't. So now you can move Tytus Howard back to a natural position. You have a guy on the interior who clearly has a mean streak to him and who is a lot of size and bulk and power. This hopefully will help relieve the load on one Davis Mills.
I want to allow you to brag for a second.
Yeah.
Because you predicted something.
I did.
And we have the audio from that. So let's play our audio of the first ever edition of Paul Gallant Was Right. Kidding.
Should have pat myself on the back. I don't know what the Texans necessarily are going to do at the specific picks, 3 and 13 in this year's draft, but everything that I have heard from Lovie Smith this offseason screams that the Texans are going to make a pick at this position in the coming draft. Here is Lovie Smith yesterday.
So anyway, it goes a little bit further, and that's where I say, lock, the Texans will take a cornerback with one of their first round picks. Lock. Lock it up.
You did. You did.
I am Paul Stradamus. I am a golden god. I can predict the future. I see into the void.
Follow him on social media where he calls himself Paul Stradamus.
Yes.
And TikToks with some nicely edited
Just
videos.
Give me an orb and I will determine your future because I am the orb lord and that is what I know. So what are the Texans going to do next? I haven't been paid enough. I'm like Miss Cleo. I do operate on an hourly rate. So, I mean, I'm not going to make another prediction so quickly.
But Nick Caserio does listen to our show because he listened to both of us because I wanted him to trade back that 13th pick. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, which team drafts a quarterback next? Plus, there's been an article released from The Athletic that say that the Texans could be interested in a certain quarterback bringing him in, and you will be very interested to hear who. That's next.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul did not think I was wearing pants.
Yeah, I thought you were just wearing a long flannel shirt as a dress shirt.
I do have a very, very long flannel on. Long flannel. Didn't put a lot of effort into my outfit today. And I do have shorts on.
That's a nice shirt, though. I mean, I didn't even see on the back your guy, Tom Petty.
I have a Tom Petty patch on the back, yeah. But it is a custom-made flannel. And
custom-made flannel?
Yeah,
like wow.
It's a flannel with, like, I say custom-made, okay. Like this woman puts
the
your favorite musician
movement
on the back of. Yeah, and but I am wearing pants. However, it doesn't look like I am in hindsight. So.
Well, I just didn't notice the pants
side.
To
your credit, you didn't say anything.
No.
Like, you weren't mean. You weren't like, where the hell are your pants?
Well, I just didn't. I didn't think to look. I didn't think to look at your pants. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, wow. Well, there are shorts on underneath it. Okay.
Yeah.
Took me a second.
I am wearing pants.
Because I was hoping, like, that was just going to be a, hey, now Paul can come to work wearing pajamas. Because I would absolutely do that. Look, the pandemic made it fine. It's my choice. It's my body.
It is your choice. It is your body. Yeah, you're right. You sound like the... Never mind. Only one quarterback drafted in the first round of the NFL draft last night. It was not Malik Willis. It was not Cincinnati's Desmond Ridder. It was Kenny Pickett. And he ended up staying home. This was cool, actually. This was the most emotional guy in the draft.
That must have been really cool.
His family had a box of terrible towels ready. And to put it into perspective, I actually didn't know this until Peter Schrager brought it up on Good Morning Football. The Steelers' practice facility and practice field is right next to Pitt's practice field.
Yeah.
So Mike Tomlin had the best line. My girl Brooke Pryor from ESPN tweeted it out that he said, we searched the entire country and then we found the guy literally in our backyard.
I mean, he plays at Heinz Field.
Love it.
He literally plays there. So good for him. I'm happy for him. That's going to be a night he never forgets, and especially to stick around with your hometown team. I mean, who gets to do that? Period. First off, make it to professional sports, and then second, to play for the team that you likely grew up rooting for. I would have killed for that. I know that back in the day, I thought to myself, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, and I'm going to be catching passes from Drew Bledsoe. Then I told myself it was going to be Tom Brady. And then I lowered my expectations. I'll play in the Arena Football League. Oh, maybe I could play at a Division III college. And instead, I just settled for being a flag football legend. So good for Kenny Pickett.
So you didn't do the whole John Carroll move?
No. What's the John Carroll move, though?
Like, Nick, like a bunch of guys in the NFL have gone to John Carroll.
Oh.
Yeah, with Texans connections.
Gotcha, okay, gotcha.
Google it, Google it. Sometime.
Okay, I'll Google this sometime. Reference over my head. So,
But yeah, I think that there... So the question that we have, then we want your input on, is which team could take a quarterback next this round? I say could be the former team that you covered in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
They have back-to-back 40 and 41 picks. Why not? I mean, especially if Malik Willis is still there, he and Russell Wilson, a lot of draft analysts have brought up. Now, nobody thought Malik would, I shouldn't say nobody, most people thought Malik Willis would be taken sooner. But a lot of draft people have brought up that he and Russell Wilson are both shorter. They're great runners. They have similar-ish comparable styles of play. If you're the Seattle Seahawks, with that back-to-back 40 and 41 pick, why not take a quarterback? Also, possibly the Tennessee Titans. I'm not quite saying they're in rebuild mode, but man, I do not believe in Tannehill. And newsflash, they traded away A.J. Brown.
Yeah, which I think is a moronic decision by a bunch of pores, but makes sense for a organization that stole away Houston football history because the city wouldn't build them, wouldn't renovate their dump, and they wouldn't build a new stadium. You know, poor organization's going to do what poor organization's going to do.
Not that Paul's bitter against the Titans or anything.
I mean, you could call this being bitter, but it's factual. They're a bunch of pores. They don't have the kind of cash to pay someone like A.J. Brown because no one cares about the Titans in Tennessee. They don't. They're trying to build a new stadium on top of this, too. I can't even wait to see how badly they screw over the taxpayers in Nashville for that. That's going to be something else to watch. But that's what organizations do when they're not trying to win a championship. They're trying to save money. I'd be pissed off if I were a Titans fan today. I'd be pissed off if I was Ryan Tannehill today. I threw three interceptions in the season-ending playoff game, and you take away my best target, and you replace him with some kid from Arkansas who might be good but might be a complete bust because it's the wide receiver in the middle of the first round. To me, that was a mistake. And if you're the Titans, you were 13-4 last year. Don't you want to keep going in the direction that you thought you were going? You were the one seed. Yeah, you lost to the Bengals. It's not like you got blown out in that game. You just had a bad performance from your quarterback. You need to play perfect. You need as many good players as you possibly can have. And after a year where you were missing so many players due to injury, you decide to trade A.J. Brown so that you can essentially draft a wide receiver from Arkansas. And then you trade back in the first round, too, and you get a bunch of picks. You need guys who can make an impact now. I don't get what Tennessee's doing, but I don't hate it.
Treylon Burks, well, for the AFC South, I mean, it shakes things up a little bit. But Treylon Burks, I mean, this is the NFL draft. Maybe he's as good as A.J. Brown. Statistics say he probably won't be. I mean, that's just how these things work. So it was definitely a gamble for sure. Meanwhile, speaking of quarterbacks, Jeff Howe, who writes for The Athletic, released an article this morning, and I guess he had released, I think, a different version you said maybe last night, but as of 3 hours ago, he released an article talking about quarterbacks and quarterback movement and whatnot. He says that the Texans were not interested in Baker Mayfield before, but now they may be. This is Jeff Howe. Quote, Mayfield would be another consideration because of the asking price. The Texans had no interest in Mayfield as part of the Watson trade, but things have changed, according to sources. Notably, at the time of the Watson trade, the Browns wanted to see if another team would take Mayfield's entire contract. Now that it's become apparent the Browns must consume a portion of Mayfield's contract, the Texans might consider that type of deal. Again, that is Jeff Howe from The Athletic citing his sources. So here's my question for our listeners, viewers, for the city of Houston. Would you say yes to Baker Mayfield, starting quarterback, or at least in the quarterback room?
I don't mind it. If they're giving me picks, why not? It's 1 year. Do you really think that it's going to poison the well that badly? Do you really think that Baker Mayfield is going to start going to put on a Buffalo hat and lead an insurrection or something like that? I mean, some people actually might like that.
Yeah.
You know, to get Kyle McNair out of there. I don't know. Stop That's it. Just me. I'm looking at it from this perspective, though. Like, if you can get draft capital, why not? You aren't paying anybody. Your contract is so free. Next year, I think you already have, if you take a look at the books, I think you got something like $100 million in cap space next year. These rookie contracts are going to change that a little bit because you have so many rookies that are potentially coming in. And 2 years from now, you have $220 million in cap space. Think about that. You can do whatever you want. There's no cap restrictions. So if you want to keep acquiring capital, draft capital, and keep on acquiring it and keep on acquiring it, why not? If you really feel like Baker Mayfield's going to be a negative influence on that locker room, you can feel that way. I wouldn't blame you for it. No one is sticking up for Baker Mayfield right now. But if I'm getting a draft pick along with Baker Mayfield, I don't care.
If it is a one-year free agent deal and you can just see where it goes, that is very low risk, potentially high reward, to your point. Would I want Baker to come here and automatically be the guy? No. Quite frankly, because of his attitude, I sound like a parent punishing somebody. But I would like to see him fight in a quarterback room. I think that Davis Mills has potential. What makes me hesitant to believe that this could happen is that we know how much the Texans love Davis Mills.
Or at least they say that.
They say that. Now, I believe, I mean, I believe that he was at that Miller Theater barbecue last night parading around in that jersey. I don't know.
I get you, but do you believe anything anymore? And I hate to sound like this nihilist cynic. But, hang on, though. I mean, Mike Vrabel, what, 3 weeks ago said we're not trading A.J. Brown and then they trade him? I mean,
working in sports is what makes me not trust men.
Pete Carroll said that we have no intention of trading Russell Wilson. They trade Russell Wilson. Like, these guys
Bill
just
Clinton
lie
said
to
I
you.
Did not have sex with that woman. I know.
Yeah. But,
men behind podiums. Hey, I don't trust
just,
them.
It's not just men. It's not just men. Come on. We got worse than that. You guys lie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is an affront on men. You know what? There are some people coming after me on Twitch. Well, I'm going to rally. Me too. Men too. We are not liars. We are men. We stand together. We have always been oppressed. We white men. Our life is hard.
Cry me a river. Who do you think takes a quarterback next? I say it could be the Seattle Seahawks or the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. And you know, don't you feel like the Colts should be in the conversation too?
I think the Colts definitely should be in the conversation. I think Matty Ice is going to be the starter, but I do think that you need somebody else in that quarterback room. And I know that they like Sam Ehlinger, but we didn't get to see a lot of him. So we'll see what happens.
Desmond Ridder is the guy that I would want to see off the board next if I'm any of these teams and I'm looking at a quarterback. Malik Willis played at Liberty. Everyone had a giant pants tent over the fact that he made a 70-yard bomb downfield against nobody, which drives me crazy. We do this every stupid year with all these stupid-ass pro days. It makes me angry to see people like, yeah, Malik Willis, woohoo! Ridder played well for Cincinnati last year, has mobility, has, I think, a lot of things that a team would be really excited to have. And, you know, imagine what Ridder looks like playing against Alabama on a team that's not Cincinnati, on a team that's an actual Power 5 conference player.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are going to get into a little bit of Astros chatter, as well as somebody on the show that's going to have a really hard time in a couple of days with his two loves. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
TGIF, you're rolling with Vanessa and Gallant on a Friday. The first round of the NFL draft is complete, and we will have lots of draft stories, storylines, etc., and our predictions throughout the day. But we do want to get to a little bit of Astros
Hell
talk.
Yeah.
The Stros rolling along. They play the Blue Jays again before Paul's mistress, the Mariners, entered the picture.
Oh,
and then
they're coming to town, aren't they?
That follows. That will be followed by a date with AJ Hinch and Detroit. So the schedule is about to get interesting.
I gotta clean my apartment.
You do. She's coming.
I gotta clean the sheets. I gotta actually clean the kitchen. Got a couple of big flies in my kitchen.
Okay, now he's being literal.
Yeah, there's some big flies in the kitchen.
How's the condo?
I don't know. I just want it's not like it's bad. I just want the damn process done. I'm it's driving me crazy the amount of time and energy I'm spending into just waiting for answers from them every single day. But anyway,
you're going to have an enjoyable experience.
Once I get into the place, yes, and once I get out of the damn apartment that I'm in right now, that's another matter entirely because I've been trying to meet with the leasing people, whatever. No one cares about my personal
three-piece suit. Okay, so the Astros, obviously, the start to the season, a little bit rough offensively. The bats were struggling, not able to get going. If they can win the series with the Blue Jays, the Mariners, the Tigers, or two out of those three series, they can really kill it against some of these teams. Do you think they officially get back on track offensively, forget the rough start?
I mean, I hope so, obviously, but I think as we get closer and closer to a month-long sample size, you are what your statistics say you are. It's a long season and things can heat up, but this is a team that doesn't score a lot of runs and that has been winning because its pitching has been great. So I think you have to ask yourself, well, what is more likely to continue, the bats to be like this or the pitching to be what it's been? Verlander was awesome yesterday, and I expect Verlander to keep that up. But the rest of the pitching, I mean, they are doing more than their fair share of the work at this point in time. And I don't want to criticize the Astros too much after a win, but this lineup stuff has gotten to me, Vanessa, where for load management, either due to James Click from upstairs or because Dusty Baker isn't wanting to play players every single game, you are actually hurting yourself. You had what happens yesterday when Kyle Tucker, who is now on a after a slump, who is now on fire, he pinch hit him and he gets a home run. Well, what happens if he plays the whole game? You know, is it really that big of a risk for an extremely young baseball player to have him play in every single game? They were thinking about giving him an off day earlier. There's too many off days being given, and I just don't understand why you would give a player who has just shaken off a slump a day off.
It's funny because people say Dusty Baker is so old school. Isn't this almost new school, like catering to the load management crowd?
And that's why, Vanessa, I wonder if it's James Click as opposed to Dusty Baker, because it doesn't feel like something that a manager would endorse. And look, that's their prerogative. If that's what they feel like is the correct approach to the entirety of the season based off of their statistical calculations, fine. But one of the things that bothers me about the idea of load management, specifically in a sport like baseball, that yes, there's a lot of games, but I do think outside of throwing a ball from the outfield, it's rather low as far as actual, you know, stress, athletic-wise, amount of effort, amount of running that's actually done. You know, this isn't something that is so catastrophic to play in 150 games or something like that. And I just wonder why it is that they have done as many games where they've given guys off to this point. It's not, I think, actually a statistical link between giving guys a couple of days off and them being more likely to be healthy for the entirety of the year. It's a freak occurrence.
Interesting for you to bring up that it could be James Click, because we have heard that there are disagreements, of course, between James Click and Dusty Baker. You kind of expect that between a GM and a manager, but you really expect it between somebody that is so analytic-driven new school and somebody that is known to be literally called the OG.
And look, we're not hearing any of this publicly. This is, again, me speculating.
Sure.
But it does feel like something that James Click would sign off on more than Dusty Baker would sign off on. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, Dusty, just figure it out. I don't know. I feel like nowadays managers are more like HR, where they're taking care
in baseball,
of players'
absolutely.
Feelings.
Yeah. Meanwhile, speaking of HR and robotic, Roger Goodell leading the NFL draft last night. And you know what he did? He let his hair down. I liked this.
You're attracted to Roger Goodell,
no!
aren't you?
Oh, God, stop. And I admit when I'm attracted to guys.
You like older guys.
No, not that old and not
he is
that.
In good shape. No. He likes to tell people about how much he works out.
He does. Here's the thing with Roger Goodell. I like the Midwest dad at the barbecue that has his typical shoes on, his Old Navy 4th of July shirt, his Dockers pants, and he's like, hey, how the hell you doing, pal? And he just he raffles off a couple dad jokes and he goes about his day. Roger Goodell went for it last night.
He went and for
this
it.
This is how he greeted one Ice Cube.
And I see someone special right down here. Ice Cube. Cube, come on up here, baby. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Cube, come on up here, baby.
He's calling him Cube.
I love it.
He kept going. Hang on. Let's hear more, Roger.
I love it.
Cube, you got something to say to the Raiders fans and all the other fans here today?
Cube! Hey, Cube, what's going on, Cube? He's such a goober.
I love it.
I don't.
I'm not saying I love Roger Goodell. Important distinction to make. I'm saying I liked this fun, looser side of Roger Goodell.
He is a pincushion dictator and arbitrarily rules on ridiculous things like suspending our Lord and Savior 4 games. I mean, he may as well be Pontius Pilate doing things like that. I feel that when you hear Roger Goodell talk, you're not hearing an authentic person. You are hearing a robot. You're hearing a robot trying to emulate human emotion. Just go to the beginning of the draft where he goes up to the podium in Las Vegas, and here is Roger Goodell, the robot, Robo Goodell, trying to compute how to interact with humans.
Let's go, Las Vegas! Come on, Las Vegas, let's go.
Come on.
Let's go, Las Vegas.
Let's go.
You know who Roger Goodell is? Do you remember when, well, you went to a private school. I don't know if they did this in private schools. But in the public school system, okay, they would bring in people to talk about not doing drugs. So you'd go to the gym. Everybody would be sweating. But, hey, you're getting out of class,
should
right?
Should have done that at the private schools.
And the guy walks in, and he's an inspirational speaker, and he says, how you doing today? And then you hear a couple, woo, and then the guy goes, that's all you got?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
going to try this one more time.
Those guys are always...
How are you doing today? And then you're, like, sitting there at Terre Haute North Vigo High School, and you're like, yeah! Dare, stay off drugs.
We
that
had that.
That is Roger Goodell.
We had that.
We had that at the rich school. We had that. But my point is this.
Well, we had a more of a problem, I think, at
yeah,
the rich
you guys
school.
Were doing cocaine. We were doing weed.
I wasn't okay. doing cocaine.
You guys
no.
were getting the good stuff no. at the private schools no. in Florida. No. At the public schools in Indiana, we just had some reefer. But my point is this. This is a serious... Roger Goodell is the guy that comes in and talks about not doing drugs and is vanilla and is a little bit robotic. But every now and then when he lets his hair down, raps off a couple dad jokes, it can be fun.
But those people, they actually have had authentic experiences.
So has he. You don't know that he didn't get drunk in Cabo and wake up in a prison cell.
He's the kind of person that wakes up at 5 in the morning to get on a treadmill every single day. He is a meticulous robot that does the same thing over and over and over. And when he's at the podium, you know what's going through his head. It's just binary code. 1010111. How can I seem like a human? Ha ha. Ha ha. Come on, guys. Come on, Vegas. Hello, human friends. 1010111. And it's totally different than the guy who comes in to speak to you about drugs. Because we actually did have a guy like that. And I thought the guy was high when he came in because he was so damn excited. He came in to us and he said, hey guys, what's going on today? This was in seventh grade. His name was Mr. G. You know what I'm really high on today, guys?
Life.
I'm high on life. Yes, he did say that.
I predicted that correctly.
He did say that.
All right.
Maybe that's the script.
Stay off drugs, kids. If you listen to Vanessa and Gallant, you're listening to a family-friendly show. We do not do drugs. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Trade City. We go over some of the trades from yesterday that shook up the first round of the NFL draft. Plus, should the Texans be wary of listening to a coach? That's next.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Everybody go like Paul Gallant's video.
No, don't. Now I sound desperate. Just because I'm mad that it doesn't blow up because for whatever reason the Twitter algorithm hates me because, you know, I'm a freedom fighter and I'm against, I'm against people. Well, listen, I'm against censorship. Twitter wants to keep me down.
Channel banned?
Yeah. Sure.
But I would argue the desperate part was probably staying up until 4 in the morning and then drinking 3 cups of coffee.
Well,
let me give you some credit. It's a well-produced video.
Thank you. Yes. I've wanted to do more of those for a while, and I've just been procrastinating doing it. And I thought to myself, if I don't do it today after the Texans drafted, I am never going to do it. So, did it. Boom.
All right, go like it. Meanwhile, Trade City yesterday, it was a historical first round of the draft. There were a lot of trades.
Nine.
I think the biggest one, most notably, would have been A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. Philly traded pick 18 and 101 to get him, then signed him to a 4-year, $100 million contract.
Millie.
57 of that guaranteed, not bad. Cardinals also traded for Hollywood Brown. Lamar Jackson was not happy about that.
I don't get that trade for either party.
He wasn't happy about it because he tweeted WTF.
Yeah, and I mean, rightfully so. It's your leading receiver from last season. So, hey, I mean, okay, you moved up in the draft if you're Baltimore and you end up doing the most Ravens thing ever. By selecting Kyle Hamilton. Wasn't that a little annoying? Where everyone on Twitter, they'll do this with two specific teams. Whenever the Patriots or the Ravens pick somebody that has been talked about in the draft, you can bet that the Ravens and Patriots, as opposed to any other team, will have their ass kissed profusely for making a pick.
Right, right.
Kyle Hamilton falls to the Ravens. Oh, that's such a Ravens pick. But anyway, back to the Brown trade. The Brown trade, I feel like someone that's trying to desperately keep a relationship going. It is hey, our relationship's failing. Let's buy a dog.
It is. Let's have a baby. Let's buy a dog. Let's buy a second home in Phoenix.
Let's buy a second home in Phoenix anyway.
Well,
let's go to Scottsdale.
So you can get the Scottsdale FEMA.
Make it a little easier for me.
Yeah. I think that here's my concern for the Titans. Now, this is a good thing for Texans fans. A.J. Brown is a proven player. Traylon Burks, who they got and who they drafted.
I don't get it.
I don't understand, because the statistics and all of that show how much of a crapshoot the draft is every year. Maybe Traylon Burks goes on to be as good as A.J. Brown. Statistically speaking, it's unlikely. So they traded away a sure thing.
Yeah.
I don't trust their quarterback. You and I both agree on this, that Ryan Tannehill is not the future. And I can imagine there's a pretty mad Mike Vrabel right now, because Vrabel isn't going to want to get rid of A.J. Brown. Mike Vrabel said he would not, and that they would not get rid of A.J. Brown last week.
Right, and they still did. This is the move. And I dumped on the Titans earlier, and I know I dump on the Titans a lot because I just don't like Titans fans. But this is a move that's done by a team that doesn't have a lot of money. Like, that's why you do this. Yes, there's a salary cap, but some teams are willing to spend a lot of money and other teams aren't. And the Cardinals are clearly willing to spend money. And the Eagles are clearly willing to spend money. As you saw, they gave A.J. Brown an $100 million contract with a ton of money guaranteed. And the Titans are in this weird spot where it looks like they're just trying to have as many swings at the fences and just to build up in terms of quantity as opposed to quality. So they got a ton of draft picks. Good for them, I guess. But when you roll the dice on anybody in the first round, there's a 50% chance that guy's not going to be good. And how many first-round wide receivers have we seen come into the league and not succeed? We've had a good run of late, but you got A.J. Brown in the second round. It's a really good pick. I think it made a lot more sense to just keep him. That you would strike gold twice with the draft pick, that you would find a top 10 potential wide receiver with this guy from Arkansas. I just don't see it happening.
We'll get to more of the AFC South in the next segment, but I think that this was huge for the future of the AFC South in general. Let's talk about the Cardinals trading for Hollywood Brown, who played with Kyler Murray at Oklahoma. Robert Griffin III had a, you know, and he's somebody that's still very much plugged into the league in general, and sent out this tweet about them being friends. Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown weren't just teammates. They were brothers. True South Floridians through and through. Never seen a bond like they had on and off the field. I know that trade hurt in more ways than just football. Yeah. And Lamar didn't try to hide it.
Yeah, he tweeted what?
WTF.
The bleep. Yes.
I actually respect that. I mean, I think that they haven't done a contract yet with Lamar. And so they need to treat Lamar well. They need to treat him well.
Yeah.
And they need to cater to their quarterback.
He's already tough to negotiate with, just because of the fact that he doesn't have an agent. And it seems
like his mom.
Right. So it seems like there's already been a little extra hardball at play, and nothing against his mom as an agent, but you throw this on top of it, and this could become a contract negotiation that gets personal and ultimately leads to Lamar Jackson doing what a lot of other quarterbacks have been doing of late, which is asking out. And as you get closer and closer to the end of that rookie contract, I mean, you can franchise tag him, sure, but what happens if he decides to sit out? What happens if he tries to pull a Deshaun Watson? Because Watson, you know, before all of the scandal happened, he was willing to sit out. He was willing to just wait.
Right.
And play that waiting game. And it sure as hell worked out for him, even with sexual misconduct allegations against him.
Meanwhile, Lovie Smith getting what he wanted. We had heard him at the NFL Combine a month and a half ago or so when I was there during those press conferences, talking about a position that he would like in a position of need. Here is Lovie Smith, a little turn back time.
In the ideal world, you know, receivers are getting big and bigger. But if you can find a 6 feet corner that, you know, that's faster than most people, that's pretty special. We put a big emphasis on ball skills. To me, the object of the defense is every snap is to score and take the ball away. We put a big emphasis on that. But we won't try to bring anyone in, add them to our mix if they don't like to tackle. That's we ask our corners to tackle. They have ball skills, and of course, but it still comes down to whether you can play man coverage a lot. That's a hard guy to find that I'm talking about.
So when he said that at the combine, yeah, that last part really jumped out to me. And look, Stingley, not the best tackler, but all the other things that he listed there.
Match.
Right. He's fast. He's tall. And he's, I think, per some, and I know Lance wrote this in his scouting report on Derek Stingley, he's bigger than he appears. And on top of that, he has ball skills. He had 6 interceptions as a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. You posed a question that I thought was interesting. Should the Texans be wary of doing what a coach wants?
And I think that Nick Caserio is thinking to the past that, hey, in New England, we had Stephon Gilmore, but it does feel like also that Lovie Smith was probably pushing pretty hard for a corner because, I mean, you heard from him a little bit later this offseason saying, we can't do what we want to do on defense unless we have a top-of-the-line corner.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, wow, they're going corner in the first round. They must.
I think this may have been the stars align and they wanted the same thing. But to your point...
That's true.
In the next... But to your point, in this round, in the picks that they have today and tomorrow, if they don't want the same thing, should they lean towards what Lovie wants?
That's a very good question. And I'd imagine that Lovie Smith wants now pass rushers. And are they going to be able to find a pass rusher in the second round that's going to be able to make a significant impact? I think that's why you always hear people say, well, I want to draft a defensive lineman in the top 5. I want to find somebody who could theoretically be the next version of J.J. Watt. Or you can find them at 11. You can find them at 14, like with Aaron Donald. I know that. But in the second round, you're a lot more hard-pressed to find that kind of a difference maker, but I imagine that's where they go next.
Lovie Smith, of course, this is not his first rodeo as a head coach in the NFL. This is his third, so we do have a blueprint of what he likes, and we know what he wants in defensive players. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little recap of the Texans draft, those number 3 and what ended up being a number 15 first-round draft pick, plus AFC South changes after night 1 and some big trades. That's next.